to New Guys Camp of Quarter. So recently, I went on a 3-day silent retreat with two friends who are also deeply engaged in Bill Plotkin's Soulcraft work, which I've talked to a little bit about here before. The work is incredibly profound and difficult, as healing work often is, and it's comprised of nature-based practices that heal the soul. So we made some agreements about this retreat in addition to the silence. No television, no telephones, no computers, internet, or email, no radio. I took off my watch. The only electronics we used were the stove and the lamps at night. The silence of the forest, broken only by birdsong, was so deep and beautiful, I felt absolutely held. And you know what? Time slowed right down. The first morning waking up there, I made and ate a leisurely breakfast. I wrote in my journal for a while. I read a few chapters in a book. I went out on the land and did some soulcraft homework. I walked the labyrinth. And when I got back to the cabin, the clock said 11 a.m. I thought it must be 2 or 3 in the afternoon. Easy. At home, it often takes till 11 a.m. for me to just finish answering emails. This was truly earth time. Slower, quality, intimate. I could hear my own thoughts. I had all the time in the world. It's the first time I've ever done a silent retreat. And after only 3 days, I felt like I had over a week's vacation. My mother was funny. I said, I'm going on a silent retreat. She said, you? Yes, me. I could be quiet too. Anyway, it was amazing, and if possible, I highly recommend it. And even if it's just for an afternoon, you know, or an evening, turn everything off, don't talk, and watch how tuned in and turned on you get with no input from the outside world. It is a whole different reality. This accelerated life that we're living, it's robbing us of precious time. The more we try to get things done quickly, the less time we have. The more we slow things down, the more time we have. It's really a very simple formula. Now, I admit that time is a bit of an obsession of mine. You know, the nature of time, this non-spatial continuum in which events occur in apparently irreversible succession from past through the present into the future. I'm obsessed with it. and particularly in how we perceive and experience it. So 19th century Henry Van Dyke, writer from the 19th century, wrote, "Time is too slow for those who wait, too swift for those who fear, too long for those who grieve, too short for those who rejoice, but for those who love, time is not." So if you would, take a moment now, close your eyes and go within. Take a deep breath. Bring your attention to your third eye in the center of your forehead. Imagine it like an actual eye. Go ahead and open it and look out through it into your imagination and find yourself in a beautiful place where there is no such thing as time. Time in our linear experience does not exist here. And maybe you are in a cabin deep in the woods away from everything, or maybe you're on a mountaintop with a big picture perspective. Maybe you're snuggled in your own comfortable bed. It doesn't matter where you are. Wherever you find yourself, time is not of the essence. Here, there is no past, no future, only now. So stay in and enjoy the now for just a moment. And now, just to show ourselves what happens when we leave the present moment, recall a time when you were under pressure to finish something, when the deadline was coming right up. Think of how that felt. Did the stress level rise along with your blood pressure? Did you get a headache? Feel like running away? Or get short-tempered, not so much fun to be around? When you think of that deadline, notice how your brain speeds up, thinking of all the things that have to get done as you race the clock. And breathe deeply once more. Now recall a leisurely time, a lazy afternoon, or a day when there was absolutely nothing on the calendar, nothing to do, no one to be responsible for. Just think about how that feels. Do you find yourself relaxing, enjoying, and savoring the moment? Is it easier to be kind and tolerant and flexible, to go with the flow? Pace and thoughts moving a bit more slowly. Another deep breath. Now recall something you dread, something you know you have to do but don't want to, you know, like going to the dentist or an invasive medical treatment or something. Someone, you have to maybe spend time with someone that you prefer not to. And recall how that feels. Find your body constricting, your spirits drop, your mind starts to grumble and gripe. And doesn't it seem as if that dreaded date is rapidly approaching? Another deep breath. Now recall a snow day, a true snow day. Mother Nature provided the perfect excuse to drop all responsibility, and everybody's in the same boat. No one goes to school or work. No one has to show up anywhere. And think about how that feels. That surprising treat. And on that snow day, did you play in the snow or have a snowball fight or make a snow angel or snowman? Did you stay in your PJs and make hot chocolate, watch a movie in the afternoon, or maybe take a nap? One more deep breath. And now recall a time when you felt nothing but love. Maybe it's as you were falling in love. Be falling in love with a person, or when you just felt so much love for your cat or your dog, you could hardly stand it. Or maybe you were doing something that you love to do so much, just filled with love, and think about how that feels. And in that place, are you thinking about time at all? And doesn't each moment seem to stretch out forever? Doesn't it seem like time just stops? And the hustle and bustle of daily life just disappears? Remember this feeling, what it feels like to love so completely, when every moment seems to last and last, when time does seem to stop altogether, when you experience a sense of the eternal. Take another deep breath and come back here, this time and space. Love extends time. Intimacy extends time. So here on Mother's Day, in a goddess worship service, we put love and intimacy at the center of our worship, because we know that every woman is a mother, whether she's had a child or children or not. Every woman has mothered someone along the way. And in the act of loving, she is creating the future. Women are mothers of the future. As the life bearers and life givers, they've always been mothers of the future. But I think the women of this time in our evolution are even more so. Because in this era, women have more family, relationship, spiritual, and political power than in the last over 6,000 years. And the beautiful men of our age are finally embracing this fact. We love you guys. And I'll talk about you Renaissance men at the June service for Father's Day, but today we're focusing on the mothers of the future. So here's a silly example, but nonetheless accurate. In addition to being, you know, a wordy nerd and an unabashed plant lover, which I call a planty, I'm also a foodie, and I like to watch the Food Channel on television. So the other day I tuned in, there was two teams competing, of course. And the first team was picked by the winner of a previous competition, and she chose all the other women. So it turned out that the teams ended up being one of men and one of women. And I didn't watch long enough to find out who won, but I did watch long enough to witness this. The men's team competed with one another for who was in charge, who knew better, and who could get the food done fastest. The women's team had each other's backs. They shared power, designated jobs according to skills and strengths, and helped each other get the job done. Now, I'm not blaming or shaming the men's team. They were doing what they have been conditioned to believe they must do to be manly men doing manly things in a manly way. But I felt really bad for them because they did not look like they were having any fun at all. It's the women's skill set that makes them the mothers of the future. This is the kind of future we want to live into when we have each other's back, where we share power, where we help one another get the job done, right? This is what we want to model for our children, girls and boys alike. We want to teach our children, regardless of their gender, our precious boys and girls, to ensure a more peaceful future, to share power and help each other. This is the future we want to cultivate for our children, the future we want them to grow into. It's a skill set based on mutual respect. In the kitchen team, it was between people, but we know that respect must be extended to the land and the animals and the elements as well. When we develop a more intimate relationship with Gaia and all who live upon her, the healing brought to bear will ensure the future we want for our children. Sound good?
Yeah.
All right, good, let's sing again.
Okay.